Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
Everybody else seems to be intimidated by the religious leaders, but not this guy. What does he say? Well, I don't know if he's a sinner, right? I don't know if he's a sinner. And then he says a bold statement, but I was blind and now I see, right? That's all I can tell you. And this is the reality for many of you. You met Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and everything changed for you. You're just like, what was it? What happened? It's just a fact.
Have you ever had anything unexplainable happen in your life? I know for a lot of people, seeing someone land on the moon was something they never thought would happen, until it did. In today's message, Pastor Jim says that this blind man didn't have anything to share with the religious leaders except one thing, his testimony. No one can deny what's happened in your life with Jesus. It's happened to you. There's power in that. You must utilize your testimony for the betterment of the kingdom of God. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 9 as he begins his message. The most important question.
Well, today a man is going to be asked the title of our message, The Most Important Question. And all of us are going to be asked that question as well. Jesus of Nazareth, we know him as Jesus Christ, but they knew him back then as Jesus of Nazareth, has met a man who was born blind, and Jesus healed him. This was earlier in chapter 9. The religious leaders hate Jesus, and they're not happy about it. They can't even be happy for a guy who was once blind and now can see. And so they're going to blame it that, well, it's no good because he did it on the Sabbath, according to their rules. Yet we're also watching this man become a follower of Jesus. And if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm glad that you're here. Totally welcome. You got any questions? We can ask them to us. We're actually going to go through the progression of this man becoming a follower of Jesus at some point in the sermon, probably more towards the end, but it's an interesting thing to watch. So again, if you're not a follower of Jesus, glad you're here. The religious leaders are going to challenge this blind man. And what's really cool is most people shy away from the religious leaders. They are the power brokers of Israel. They control the church. They control the government. They're under the Roman Empire, but the Romans kind of leave them alone except for a few things. But this blind guy, why most people back down, this guy's going to put them in their place. Can I be honest with you? I love this guy. I just love him. I've been laughing with him all week long. He just cracks me up. And in the Gospel of John, we see a lot of time is spent on something. And I want to really make sure we focus on this. The danger of religion and the unbelief that it often produces. Now, you say, like, what? But we see this in the religious leaders, and this is what John is really making very clear to us in his gospel here. Those who claim to spiritually see, in this case the religious leaders, are as blind and living in darkness as anyone. Maybe perhaps even worse than some. Yet a man who once was blind has experienced what we would call amazing grace. Physically, his eyes can now see, and spiritually, his eyes can now see, his heart can now see Jesus Christ. So we're going to divide the text today into two different parts. We didn't read it all today. It's a longer reading, so it's really just simply whose company this man is in. So the first is the man and the religious leaders. The man and the religious leaders. Now, they had just talked to his parents. His parents were like, talk to him, okay? He's of age. The man had already met with the religious leaders before, so they're going to pull him in again, verse 24 and 25. So they said again, well, let's call this the second interrogation of the man. They said again, they called the man who was born blind and said to him, give God the glory. Now watch this. We know that this man, talking about Jesus, is a sinner. He, this is the man born blind, answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. So he says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but one thing I know, Though I was blind, now I see. Now, the statement, give God the glory, is an interesting one. It could mean a number of different things. It could mean just a command, we want you to tell the truth. We heard you the first time. We didn't believe a word that you said. But now, we want you to tell us the truth, okay? Or it could be, whatever you do, don't give the glory to Jesus Christ. Give it to God. Okay, don't give it to him. They would know him as Jesus of Nazareth. That followed the official position of the religious leaders. This is their official position. We know that this man is a sinner. That is their official position. Jesus has been claiming to be God, but here they say, no, we believe that he is a sinner. So what are they doing? In the previous passage, we learned, it was before Christmas, that if you side with Jesus, you would be kicked out of the religious community. You'd be kicked out of the synagogue. And to be kicked out of that would to be kicked out of life in there, because it was such a big part of life in Israel. It seems they're trying to force his testimony. They're trying to maybe get him to change some things. Why would they do that? As we have seen, they're planning to kill Jesus. But I love this guy. He is not intimidated at all. Everybody else seems to be intimidated by the religious leaders, but not this guy. What does he say? Well, I don't know if he's a sinner, right? I don't know if he's a sinner. And then he says a bold statement, but I was blind and now I see, right? That's all I can tell you. And this is the reality for many of you. You met Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and everything changed for you. You're just like, what was it? What happened? It's just a fact. But the religious leaders would probably say, well, we know this is not from God because he violated the Sabbath when he washed your eyes with mud. But that's their rules, not God's rules. And the funny thing is, they would say, so you should give glory to God because it was God who healed you, not this crazy Jesus character. But actually what they said was true. It was God who healed him. The arrogance of the religious leaders is found in the statement. We know. Like, we know. You know anybody like that when it comes to God? Oh, we know. We know. It's like many people and their opinions about God. And you say to people, well, where do you get that opinion from? Well, it's just my opinion. Really? Really? How do you feel when certain people have opinions about you that are not true? I don't like it. You don't like it, okay? Nobody likes that, do they? Right? And but God, you think God's like, oh, that's fine. It's their opinion. We'll change. Right? That's not the way it works. And so that's just the way they want to talk about God. Okay, well, we know. Verse 26 and 27. This is where it gets funny. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Now listen to this guy's answers. I love it. He answered them, I told you already. And you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And then this is so funny. Do you also want to become his disciples? I love this guy. Another version says, you don't want to become his disciples too, do you? Right? So what is he doing? You know, probably his whole life, those people knew him. He was the blind beggar in the town, one of them. And they probably treated him like garbage. And now this is his chance. He's going to be like, oh, you guys think you're so smart? Well, I'm going to teach you a lesson. So it appears they're going to allow him to change his original testimony, or maybe they're going to be looking for some inconsistencies. Maybe they're going to find out, maybe you were wrong here, maybe you were wrong there. We want to make sure what's going on here. But again, he's bold. I was blind, but now I see. Okay? And so he's just, you know, What more do you want? So what's happening? It's all backfiring on the religious leaders. It's completely backfiring. He says, I told you already. Which part? You never talk to somebody and you tell them something really simple, and then you're like, which part of it was I unclear? Which part of it did you not understand? They heard it, but they didn't. So they're both spiritually blind, okay, and spiritually deaf. So the man gets sarcastic with them. He's like, okay, I wonder how many other people are there. And he goes, so do you want to become his disciples? Yeah. What is he basically saying? Do you want to become like me? right? You want to become like me? And these guys are just crazy. This is just pouring gasoline on the fire. Verse 28 to 29. Then they reviled him, or they abused him, and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." Okay, so they're like, we follow Moses. You're following this guy. We don't know where he's from. Okay, he's not from God. Well, actually, he is God. Okay, but they're kind of missing that. So what do they do? It's interesting, they make a dividing line. They say, you are either Jesus' disciple or you are Moses' disciple, but you can't do both. But there's a real problem with that. Do you know who Moses was? Jesus' disciple. Right? Remember we talked about how the voice of Jesus, is who he says he is the same voice that met Moses at the burning bush. They don't even know what's going on, okay? Did you notice they refused to say Jesus' name? Nowhere will they say Jesus' name. That's become a vile thing to them. Yet look back at verse 17. What did he say about it when they said, well, who do you think he is? They're expecting him to go, I don't know. And what did he say? He's a prophet. He's a prophet. That didn't go over well. Combine that with, you want to be his disciple, okay? And they have had it with this guy. So they insult him. Do any of you know what that's like? Yes. Yeah, you got family people. You believe that, all that baloney, right? But the funny thing is, so many of them grew up going to church. Like, well, what were you doing there? Well, I was doing religious stuff, right? And so we're going to see that in a bit. That's not exactly the right thing to do. So they insult him. And here's the thing. If you're new, you're going to get insulted, right? Hopefully, after a few years, you don't care. If you don't care, right? It's just like, you know, somebody, you do with kids. I mean, some of you heard this story before. One time when this kid was picking on one of my kids, right? And my wife was like, I'm going to go out and punch that kid up, man. And I'm like, babe, he's in kindergarten. You can't do that, right? But that's the same way. I'm not saying you have to defend Jesus, but it's not going to faze you anymore. You're just going to be like, this is what happens to people. And many of us used to be those people, right? We realize that. And so we got to kind of fight our way through it. Clearly to them, Jesus is a nobody. Yet, they know between talking to Jesus and now talking to this guy that they are losing. What has happened? Their traditions, their religious practices are completely blinding them. And this is something that we have to realize, that a lot of people are blinded by non-biblical religious practices, or they're doing something that the Bible says, right? But they've elevated over the person of Jesus. Back in chapter 5, Jesus said this to the religious leaders, verse 45 through 47. Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses. Now that would be, we hear that and we go, okay, fine. To them, they're like, what do you mean Moses? In whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So the religious leaders are obsessed with Moses and the law. But they're really not. They're really not. What they did was they added to what Moses wrote. Now, when you add to what God says, you really subtract from it. And when you subtract from what God says, you really subtract it. So we have a bunch of people we know who, and maybe you, got the bunch of stuff was added to what God said, you spoil it. But then there's other people the same way. They're like, well, it doesn't matter how you live because God's going to forgive all your sins anyway. Well, really? I mean, really? Don't you show someone how much you love them by the way you behave towards them? I mean, that's just the truth of the matter. It doesn't mean we're not going to be perfect. But when we do something we know God doesn't want it, what do? We confess our sins because he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we do. And so they added again all of this stuff. And I believe personally that they missed something dramatically from the introduction to the Ten Commandments, right? And this is just, listen to me this, okay? God mercifully brought the people out of Egypt. Egypt is a lot of times pictured in the Bible as a type of sin, okay? And so God takes them out of sin the same way he takes all of us who are born in sin out of Egypt when we put our faith and trust in him. Listen to the beginning, okay, of Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And God spoke, this is just the introduction to the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. There were slaves there. Some of you have heard them say slavery. But what did they do? God did it, right? They turned it into a religion of works. And what happens when you do that? You lose sight of the merciful deliverance of God. Because it becomes all about who? You. Not about God. And they missed who Jesus Christ was. These guys, in this time, Moses was about 1,400 years earlier, they missed God become a man, and they missed the grace of God. The law of God, okay, and this is where people get confused. People sometimes, they read it and they'll say to you, well, how come you're, you know, wearing different kinds of clothing or different kinds of this, that? And they say, why doesn't that apply to you? And they say, you say you believe the Bible. I say, I do. They said, well, why don't you do that stuff? I go, because I'm not an Israelite going across the wilderness to the promised land. That was for them. Were you there? So, yeah. Okay. But there's other things that we are all to obey, and we have to figure that stuff out, okay? But what happens is when you add to it, the law of God was supposed to do what? Lead us to God. But when you add to it, what do? You make it all about you, and you lose God. Verse 30 to 33, the man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing. I love him. In other words, this is an amazing thing. That you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. We'll come back to that in a minute. But if anyone is a worshiper of God or a God-fearing man or woman and does his will, stop right there. Does whose will? His will, not the religious leader's will. Okay, very important, not the additions. Okay, he hears him. Since the world began, this is an important verse, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. Jesus was often opening the eyes of the blind as an illustration to us the way he spiritually opens our eyes. But here is a man who was born blind. It's not something that we see in the Old Testament. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing or anything. This is the once blind man talking. So here's the thing. The once blind man, he just keeps coming at them. I'm wondering if he's even stopping for a breath. I mean, he's just firing at these religious leaders, and he goes, you don't know anything about this guy. And yet he opened my eyes, and that was their job, to investigate all of these people who claim to be prophets. It's possibly saying to them, you got to be kidding me. Like, almost like, your unbelief is more remarkable than my cure. I mean, you know all these different miracles this guy's been doing, and you can't believe this? I mean, it's so simple, okay? I couldn't see. I've been blind since the day I came out of my mama's belly. And now, this guy, I meet him. He rubs mud on my eyes, tells me to go wash it off in the pool of Siloam, doesn't even go with me. I wash it off, and I can see. Almost like he's saying to these guys, you claim to represent God, and you don't even recognize his work. No wonder you don't see who he is. What is he implying to them? You guys are spiritually blind. It's almost like he's saying, you lack common sense. You're dumb as a rock. You don't know anything about God. You're lost, and you're our leaders. This is horrible, okay? It's almost like he's saying, am I the only one who sees this guy as from God? I mean, how could he not be? Now, verse 31, the beginning has some people in the knot, so I want to talk about it for a second. Send me a bunch of emails. Now, we know that God does not hear sinners. Well, what does that mean? Well, back in verse 16, the Pharisee said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, in the Old Testament, there are certain sections, okay, and remember the context is important, that God said that he listens to the godly and not sinners. So it seems to me like this guy is trying to turn their own logic back on them. So like, you know that he says that, but how could this have happened? Now, I would think if he's talking about miracles, then he's making a point. Jesus is the real deal. He could not have done this. Nobody else has done this before. He could not have done this unless he is the real deal, unless he is from God. So now that brings us to a big, important question. Does God hear from sinners? Now, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, watching online, listening on the radio, I want you to listen. And it's very, very important, okay? God hears from sinners, obviously, because we all are, okay? Do any of you here think you're not a sinner? But please, don't be embarrassed to raise your hand. But I will tell you, you're a liar. Okay? We're all sinners. Except for me, I'm a pastor. I never sin. Love you, honey. Okay. For those of you who don't know, my wife's sitting in the back. Okay. So anyway, God does hear from sinners. We all are. All right. So let me give you a few examples. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. Jesus is telling a story. First, he tells a story about this guy who's praying to himself. It's really funny, but we don't have time to go there. And then he says, and the tax collector. Now, who are the tax collectors? They were Jewish people who collected taxes for the Romans. Hated by all their fellow countrymen. Traitors. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyebrows to heaven. Let me stop right there. Some of you, and I know this for a fact, okay? Some of you feel so much shame before God that you can't even look at him. You cannot even look up to God. You can only pray with your head down, okay? So there he is, standing afar off, would not even so much raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And as you read the passage, you know what happened? Jesus saved his soul. John 6:37, we've already covered this. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. If you legitimately come to God with an open heart and you say, I want to give myself to you, Lord, okay? He will not cast you out. He will never drive you away. Now, people argue this for years. You can go out to lunch and argue this. Some people say, well, that's because they were saved already, and that was they got saved after the fact. Whatever. You know, people have been arguing it for 2,000 years. Unless the Lord returns, they'll be arguing it for another 2,000 years. Okay? Here's what I always say to people when they ask me. But you have to believe. But you have to believe. Okay? And people say to me, which side do you want to take in the argument? I go, fine, you pay for lunch, I'll take either side. I'll take either side, but you pay for lunch, okay? Because you have to believe. Nobody doesn't believe that, okay? Romans chapter 10, verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, or will be saved. Now, a few verses earlier in verse 9, he talks about believing in your heart. See, you can say things with your mouth, right? But God knows your heart. Your heart has to be towards him. So God, we know, hears sinners who call out to him for the forgiveness of sins and eternal life.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.